This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I am Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you till noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Talking Kings Jazz. Kings got a 113-96 win last night in Utah. We'll also take a look around the NBA. James, let's reset the game last night real quick before we do that, though. Sack Filmroom on Twitter does an outstanding job. Salute to Skyler. Posted Keon Ellis's defensive stats from yesterday. The Utah Jazz went guarded by Keon Ellis, 0 for 7 from the field. Of course, he had the 3 blocks and 2 steals. He had 3 deflections and a 59 defensive rating. That means the Jazz, per 100 possessions that Keon Ellis was on the court, That's what the offensive defensive ratings are.
Mm-hmm.
An estimated number of points scored or allowed during 100 possessions. His defensive rating was 59. That means per 100 possessions with Keon Ellis on the court, the Jazz were scoring 59 points.
Yeah. No, he was excellent.
That's insane.
Man. He was absolutely spectacular, but in all honesty, that's not who he was in the preseason, unfortunately. And like, this job was there to take, and now he needs to find a way to work with everybody else.
Yep.
And that means he needs to learn how to bring the ball up so Malik Monk can play off ball a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
It means he's got to be, ready to shoot on that second unit that is really struggling to put up points. Like, he's got to do more. And, it'll be interesting to see how he evolves and how he learns from this process.
Let's dive a little further into that, as well as some other aspects of last night's Kings win with James Hamm. So it's 3-2-1. We'll fix that in post with James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has 6 notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts.
James Hamm, number one.
Sabonis snatched Walker Kessler's soul.
Oh.
I just think for me... Like, this was such a huge, huge advantage swing at one position on the court. 28 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. I thought Domantas Sabonis continues to be great, but also he neutralized one of the great shot blockers in the game. Just absolutely took him out of the game.
Yeah, man. When Domas is... When he's playing really as well as he has defensively this season, or particularly last night, that's a... Heck of a player, man. I'm early season. I'm on the Domas MVP bus.
Okay.
Why not? We're 4 games in. Let's get wild.
Let's get wild.
Yeah, he was awesome last night. And I continue. I don't want to spend. We're not Utah's sports leader here, but it feels a little to me like the Jazz are trying to turn Walker Kessler into John Collins from he can be had, 2 first round picks.
Yeah.
You can have this guy, rim protector. And then you watch him and you're, he's a good player, but Am I giving up first round picks to get Walker Kessler in my rotation? Like,
is he a good? I don't know.
You think he's fine?
Okay. He's fine. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, again, Greg Ostertag-esque. And I'd even say that, like, he's Ostertag was at least a little more of an offensive lob threat, like, weapon that you had to defend because he could dunk with, like, his feet on the ground.
And I get why he was part of the Rudy Gobert deal, and they really want to swing, oh, man, we got this guy in the Rudy Gobert trade, and we flipped him for more. But, no, he's a legit seven-footer. He's 8 points, 8 boards. 2.4 blocks in his career in 23 minutes a night. Like, yeah, good player.
Okay.
But it's not like he's going up there and putting up 25 and 10 a night.
Yeah, it's not like he's a defensive player of the year candidate.
Yeah, good defensive player for sure, but
yeah.
Like, man, he's probably coming off the bench on a good team.
No, totally. And, you know, Jay Oliphant in the chat said he's basically Gobert. I was telling Kyle before, I think what they're trying to do is create another Gobert so they can trade him again. It's like they're trying to make like the Gobert factory there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, he's
sure, man.
He's just not very, very good. I mean, he's okay, but again, he's a starting center on a...
I am not a Rudy Gobert fan.
Yeah.
I think Rudy Gobert is one of the most overrated basketball players of my lifetime.
I don't disagree.
Walker Kessler is not close.
No.
Not that guy.
No, but I also, like, I was there when Rudy Gobert was coming through for the draft process, and, mm-hmm. like, his legs were little sticks, and, sure. you know, he was just, like, this really, really tall guy who had very little game. And he developed there to the player he was, mm-hmm. that he is still today. But, you know, it's not like those style of players, like, mm-hmm. I don't know that they truly fit in the modern NBA. And I think we've seen it with Gobert. He gets played off the court in every single, every single playoff series. And it's just really tough when a guy is limited like that.
Six quick thoughts. Number two, James. Oh, nope. Wait, here we go. Number two, James Ham.
Fox got cheeky.
Sorry, what?
He threw the ball off of Walker Kessler's behind and then grabbed the ball and laid it up. I thought, like, Fox is having a little bit of fun, and he was good. He wasn't great. 19 points, 6 assists. I think he's still trying to figure out who he is and what he is with DeMar DeRozan, and so there is this little bit of, like, mm-hmm. he's really good for stretches, and then he kind of disappears for stretches. I think we'll see this sort of even itself out throughout the season, but for right now, I still think he was really good. He just wasn't, like, he didn't stand out as the best player on the court. That has been Domantas Sabonis in every game.
Yeah, this is, if I'm picking out something that concerns me through the first four games as a potential, like, long-term issue, it's Fox shooting 29.2% from three on six attempts a night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a little bit concerning to me. He's averaging 21.5, 7.5 assists. If he's not averaging close to 30 because he's dishing out more assists, like, okay, fine. But like you said, it still feels like in the preseason, it felt like he was taking a back seat, letting DeMar DeRozan and everybody else figure it out. This is De'Aaron Fox's team. When he needs to step in, he'll step in and kind of take over. And it feels like a continuation of the preseason where he's out there and he's contributing. He's a good player for sure.
Yeah, he put up, I think, 28 against Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he has looked like, to me, too much of an afterthought. Like, I need De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox, for my money, is the most talented player on this team. He is capable of going for 30 a night. I know he probably doesn't need to with this group.
Mm-hmm.
But he is that type of player. And for him to be as passive as he's been, I don't like that.
Yeah, I think that there's going to come a point where he takes over for a stretch.
I hope so.
And that could be, like, it could take a month, whatever it is. Like, I think he is going to slowly build who he is into this. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, what you don't want him to do is, like, take such a back seat that this becomes DeMar DeRozan and Domantas Sabonis' team.
Yes.
And, like, I don't think that that's happening, but I certainly think it's on the table, mm-hmm. and he needs to be more assertive. And I kind of, we saw this with him and Tyrese Halliburton, mm-hmm. where he just didn't look like he was like 100% sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he is, like when he's got the ball and he decides to start making his move, he had a play last night where he cut like in and out of like three different Utah Jazz mm-hmm. players on his way to the basket. And mm-hmm. I think he got fouled. It was just remarkable.
Right. Like, yeah. It's there.
Yep.
And I thought against Minnesota, early on, Kings up 5-0. Minnesota goes on that, was it 8-0 run? 8 mm-hmm. or 9-0 run, whatever it was. And then Fox came down and back-to-back buckets.
Yeah.
Just easy. Got to his spots. I mean, shots he's gonna hit 80% of. And I thought, oh, that's going to kind of be what he does this year. It's going to be the Kings offense. And then when they need to settle down, when they need a bucket, it's going to be Fox time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hasn't felt like that. I know his shooting percentage from the field is about on par with what it was last year, but he's taking 3.5 fewer shots per game.
Yeah,
that's a pretty substantial amount. I would like to see him get back up closer to 20 shots a night.
Yeah, and I think a part of the function of that is that the last two games have not been highly competitive.
That's true. That's fair.
You know, and okay. You know, so I think we'll have to wait. What he had 20 against the Lakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to see what he 20 shot attempts. I want to see what he looks like 3-4 weeks in. And like, look, I think everyone in Sacramento knows, like, if he should be the other All-Star.
1,000%.
Like, and he needs yep. to, like, DeMar DeRozan's a Hall of Famer, but his years of being an All-Star are pretty much over. Like, mm-hmm. he's 35 years old. If he made an All-Star team, it would be like, what in the world just happened
yeah.
after not being an All-Star?
It'd be a reputation thing.
Well, yeah. Well, it would also be if the Kings were winning a ton of games and he was averaging well over 20 a game.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is that De'Aaron Fox is the All-Star.
I agree.
He should be the guy who feels that way and plays that way and is putting himself out there in that way. And DeMar should be a really good third option, third guy.
Averaging a career-high 7.5 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Also, De'Aaron, 93.8% from the free throw line.
Whew.
That's big time. That's also a career high by a lot. So yeah, hopefully he starts to figure this out and looks a little more like De'Aaron Fox
yeah.
The rest of the way. Number three.
DeRozan posted his fourth straight 20-plus point plus points per game. Mm-hmm. Like, this is his, like, he's just going out there. He's just a walking bucket.
He's doing exactly what we all expected.
Yeah, it just looks really, really easy for him to get to 20 on every single night.
Mm-hmm.
Not any night. Every night.
Yep.
Yeah. Never like, mind. He's very, very good at putting the ball in the basket. And also say, like, he's way up there in steals, averaging 2 steals per
yeah.
game. He gets a ton of deflections. Like, he's more disruptive defensively than I thought. I don't know that, like, I can't say he's better defensively. I think he's been more disruptive. And, you know, he still has a lot of game on both ends of the court.
Yep. Definitely. Number four.
Keegan Murray shut down Lauri Markkanen before Markkanen got hurt. He was all over him. Like, he made Markkanen look like slow and plodding.
Yeah.
And so I like what Keegan's doing. I need him to continue that early season aggressiveness. You know, the 14 points on 6 of 14 shooting. Again, I was surprised to see that he shot the ball 14 times. But I need him to continue to be around that number. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he's hitting a couple more, maybe getting to the free throw line like he did not do last night, but hitting, you know, one or two more threes, he'll be right where we think he'll be for this season.
He is basically, from a attempts perspective, exactly what he was a season ago. 12.7 shots a night last season, 12.8 this season, 6.6 three-point attempts a night last season, 6.8 this season. He is just doing exactly what he was doing, which is okay. But like you said, that early season aggressiveness, night one, mm-hmm. like, oh, this is a different Keegan. And since then, he's just kind of been the same guy. I need him to be a little more assertive consistently.
I think so too.
But if you're going to go do stuff like just kind of shut down Lauri Markkanen defensively
mm-hmm.
and be as good as he's been defensively, you'll take that right now.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Number five.
Keon Ellis shines.
Yeah, he did.
Again, we've talked about his stat line a couple of times, but 3 blocks. 2 steals. I mean, he was all over the court. He dove on, he got the ball. Somebody stripped it from him. He dove on the floor, got a jump ball. Like, it's those energy plays. And I think that's the biggest thing. his activity level and his energy is different. And it's different in the same way that Malik Monk is different, where Malik brings just his totally different energy to the court, except for one of them does it on the defensive end, one of them does it on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. The Kings need that. They need that guy who comes in and becomes a catalyst defensively. And so I'm hoping that he's growing from, you know, whatever's going on and getting through, you know, sort of the trudge of preseason and into the, you know, what's happening early in the season. And I'm hoping that he's built that, he's building that trust with Mike Brown.
Yeah. And I think he is. Whatever was bothering him early on looked like it was behind him last night.
Yep.
Locked in. Number six.
Final one. Kevin Huerter looks like 2022-23 version is loading. And to me, Kevin Huerter, again, it might have been rough and it might have upset fans and whatever. The Kings are a better team when Kevin Huerter is rolling. And that's just it. Like, they're a better team when De'Aaron Fox is rolling. They're a better team when Trey Lyles is playing well, but mm-hmm. Kevin Huerter has an ability to space the floor like nobody's business. And so for me right now, I think he is doing an excellent job of not only, you know, shooting the ball, shooting 41.7% from three on six attempts per game, mm-hmm. shooting 90% from two. He has not been to the free throw line yet, which is weird. But again,
don't draw a foul, man.
Yeah, this is the type of player that, if you didn't have, you would be searching for if you were the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, look, the Kings are a better team when Kevin Huerter's playing well. Whether it's a starter, whether it's off the bench, I don't care. Just they're a better team when he's playing well.
Yeah, man. Volume about the same as last year. He's just connecting more often. His effective field goal percentage is 70.6, which is by far his career high. If this is what it takes... Then great. If the 8.5 shots a night and 6 threes a night, if that's not going to jump back up to, you know, closer to 7 threes a night and 12 shots a night, I'm okay with that. I need him to be efficient. I need him to be a threat. And he has been.
Yeah. It's really tough to find more shots. Mm-hmm. The way this team finds more shots, they got to start playing faster.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you need to go create more. They need to go get offensive rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to create more shots. If you want to score more points, if you're like in the rotation, then mm-hmm. go manufacture a couple of buckets.
I also would like to point out that Kevin Huerter is looking like he's back to his more normal self. He's currently shooting a career high 41.7% from three mm-hmm. after removing the headband.
Oh,
I have been on this since last year.
Oh.
I was on like game 9 last year. Like, the headband's got to go.
Blame the headband.
Headband gone, shooting a career high from three. Salute to Kevin Huerter for doing what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it might have been tough. I understand you don't always want to make that change. But the headband had to go so Kevin Huerter could thrive.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. Headband Huerter is a thing of the past.
It is. Salute to Kevin Huerter.
That's right.
What have we learned about the Kings so far? Through the first couple of games, here let me just ask you this: we had a little bit of a discussion in the offseason about, hey, Keegan Murray has grown. Okay, are you paying him a max rookie contract? Like, this is a max rookie scale extension. Like, like, dang, this is. If he's not going to be more aggressive, if he's not, I don't know, man. It's a lot of money. You're paying Domas. Through the first few games, he looks like the kind of player that you're wanting to give that max extension to.
Yeah, I think if he's going to sit around like the 14 point per game mark where he is right now, 14-7, then maybe you're a little bit below max money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all can see the outline, and we can also see all the players that got paid mm-hmm. over the last, in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The rookie scale extensions for the crop of players before him, the year before him,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of players got max money.
Yeah.
And I don't know that all of those players deserve max money, but I certainly know that Keegan Murray is careening towards max money, rookie scale max money.
Sure, yes.
Which is like basically $30 million a year.
Sure.
Coming into the season, I don't know if I've thought he, like, between 20 and 30, he's somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. And maybe he doesn't get a full max. Maybe he does. But at this point, and you're watching his impact on this team specifically, mm-hmm. man, he is right there. He's in line. And a lot of players around him in that draft are not.
Yeah.
Like Jaden Ivey went to pick behind him. There's no way he's getting a max money. Jabari Smith Jr., it's tough to see him getting max money. Chet Holmgren getting all the monies. Paolo mm-hmm. Banchero's getting all the monies.
Of course.
But the other guys around them, like, not really. I think Keegan is worked his way into being a, you know, top, you know, a plus starter on a playoff team.
He's come back and been as good or better defensively than he was last year, which is a huge component of this for me.
Yes.
But we've seen the flashes now. I think we've seen more flashes this year that there's growth to his offensive game. I think we really saw it against Minnesota. And that's a very good defensive team where he was not shy about putting the ball on the deck and going creating a shot for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was letting it fly from three. I think he had 10 3-point attempts that night.
Five
of 10. That's kind of more what I want to see him be. And maybe he's not that consistently this year because it is De'Aaron. We've seen Domas be more aggressive offensively. DeMar DeRozan's going to put up a ton of shots. But DeMar DeRozan, that's a what, 2 or 3 year window?
Yeah.
With DeMar. And then after that, it's got to be the Keegan Murray show.
Yeah.
I've seen enough from him offensively that maybe it's not going to be as consistent as I personally would like. But you see a world where if DeMar DeRozan after this year says, okay, I'm done playing basketball, I'm hanging him up, where Keegan could pick up a lot of the slack left behind by DeRozan.
Yeah, I think you're going to have DeRozan for all 3 years at this point. But I also think that as DeRozan starts to fade a little bit, mm-hmm. Keegan's got to come up.
Yeah.
He's got to be the guy who's taking more and more of the scoring mm-hmm. Load over the next, you know, 2-3 years. And again, look, DeRozan is as advertised, but I'd also point out, we talked about this before, he shot over, 21 shots a game last year, 20 shots a game.
Mm-hmm.
He's at 14.5 field goal attempts per game. And the biggest difference, he's getting to the line like 8 times per game, which is absolutely wild.
Mm-hmm.
But we're seeing sort of like what DeMar DeRozan can look like, and he's becoming more and more efficient for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the season, I could see him being at 13.5-14 shots per game, but averaging around the same, you know, maybe 21-22 points per game.
Sure.
Just because I think he's going to get more efficient in this offense as it continues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will prolong his career playing in an offense like this. But I also think that there will come a point where, you know, you see Keegan Murray take this leap, and it, and DeMar DeRozan will start sort of handing some of this offensive scoring load to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's to me why I'm comfortable giving him a max extension. As of right now. We'll see. Call me at Christmas. But
yeah,
for right now, through the first 4 games, I feel pretty good about it. And then the other thing, do you think that this little scoring outburst from Domas, where he's averaging 24.3 a game, are we going to continue seeing that?
Yeah, I think 22, 23. The thing I would point out, I haven't one time felt like he forced anything.
Yeah, man. In fact, there's been more times where I've been like, "Doc, shoot it." Like, I know he's shooting. He's being more aggressive shooting threes and stuff. But there's still been a few times where he like starts it and then he puts it on the deck and does a thing where he's like probing. It's like, bro, let it fly, man.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I don't know if he can keep up shooting 67.9% from the field and 54.5% from three.
Yeah, he might go a little cold here at some point.
But. Yeah, but I still, like the way he's scoring is just, it's effortless. I mean, not really because he's getting hit still, but even that is calmed down. He's not getting hit nearly as much. And I think part of it's early in the season, part of it's the opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he's going to be a guy who's averaging over 20 a game, probably over 22 a game this season.
Yeah. All right. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The Kings weren't the only game in the NBA last night. There were 3 other contests going on, and all of them had something a little bit interesting, all of them involving the Western Conference, which was fun. Yeah, literally. The 6 other teams playing last night and 5 of them in the West? We'll talk about that. Coming up and what it means for the Kings. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, and we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Entertainment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James there, Kyle here. The handoff with one of D'Lo KC coming up in about 12 minutes. As we take you up to noon, we'll hand it off to those guys and they'll take you up to 4 o'clock. And that's when coverage of Game 5 of the World Series between the Dodgers and Yankees begins. Coverage 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320. Do not miss a pitch. Because if the Yankees, check this out, I saw this stat yesterday. The Dodgers are up 3-0 in the World Series, and then the Yankees, of course, won 11-4 last night. Major League Baseball has come out and banned the fans who interfered with Mookie Betts last night. Not really interfered, tried to assault Mookie Betts last night.
Yeah, not great, man. Don't grab a player.
Yeah, if the ball is in over the wall and in foul territory, you can put your hands up and try and grab it. Once the player has caught the ball, leave him alone. Like, that's ridiculous. But anyways, banned for Game 5, but only Game 5.
After that, they're allowed back in.
Season ticket holder again next year. At least that's how it sounds right now. If the Yankees win tonight and force a Game 6, it'll be the first time in World Series history that a team has forced a Game 6 after going down 3-0.
I think last night they said it's been 54 years since somebody has won a Game 4 when down 3-0. Yeah, it's like something crazy. Like, no one has done
a lot of sweeps.
Even one. Yeah, usually when it's 3-0, it's like, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if the Yankees win tonight, we get a Game 6 in L.A., and it gets a little tight.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want games. I don't have a rooting interest. I don't care. Like, I don't want either team to win particularly. So I just want games. I want as much drama as possible.
I agree. Just
that's
like
kind of what I'm rooting for.
I want to see this thing, you know, get dragged out a little bit. Like, yeah. Let's play.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be a really good series. Maybe Aaron Judge will start hitting. I don't know. Be really cool if he showed up.
Doubt it.
Anyways, let's take a look around the NBA as the Kings were mollywopping the Jazz in Utah. Dallas beat Minnesota 120-114. Hoops Hype. We love the homies over at Hoops Hype.
Mm-hmm.
Tweeted out that the game gave off West Finals vibes. I wonder why. What about Mavericks Timberwolves could have possibly given off West Finals vibes?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
A mystery. A real mystery. Do you think the Mavs are just a bad matchup for Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I also think Minnesota right now, you know, again, they're 2-2 like the Kings are. They aren't who they're going to be. It's going to take a little while for them to figure out, like, their path forward. And I think it's so much easier for a team like Dallas to integrate a player like Klay Thompson.
Sure.
Who has a specific role and mm-hmm. who did not shoot the ball well at all last night.
2 for 7 last night.
Yeah, it's easier to integrate that than to integrate a true number two scorer. And, you know, not only that, but a guy who typically has the ball in his hands a lot, a big assist guy in Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, again, the Timberwolves are going to take some time. And they may not reach the same heights that they did last year. I mean, it's very possible that they don't. Just because, you know, you lost a big player and, you know, maybe you don't. And I think even last year, I felt like they caught lightning in a bottle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a little bit like the Kings did the year before. Like, whether they're going to be there or not at the end, I don't know. But I certainly, just because they make it to the Western Conference Finals one year yeah. does not mean they're going to make it there a second year.
I just don't know, and I will say this until I'm blue in the face. I don't know that Naz Reid and Nickeil Alexander-Walker and Dante DiVincenzo, that's their three primary guys off the bench. They all played 24-plus minutes off the bench last night. I don't like the Kings, it's Fox and Domas and DeRozan, but man, you have to... Keegan Murray is a legitimate threat. Kevin Huerter is a legitimate threat. Malik Monk is dynamite off the bench. I don't know that Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle doing a bunch of one-on-ones while everybody else stands around. I don't know that Alexander Walker and DiVincenzo and Reed are like... I know Naz Reed's a very good player. I don't want to... But I just don't... Maybe it all fits together eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the way those pieces work. And I don't know if that's enough of a threat to have a team where it's a my turn, your turn, Anthony Edwards, Julius Randle thing work.
Yeah, and because
I just kind of think they're fatally flawed in that way.
No, I see what you're saying because, like, look, if you look at the Kings, we all know that Keegan Murray in a different system, like where he was asked to do more,
mm-hmm.
would probably be at 18 points per game.
Yeah, like I would agree with you.
He averaged 15 last year. Mm-hmm. We can easily see how he could be an 18 point per game scorer. He might be that by the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But the Kings have Fox, they have Sabonis, and they have DeRozan, which are, like, in most playoff series, are going to go for 70 to 80 every single night.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, they have all of these other pieces that can give them, you know, 20 or 30 if they need it, whether it's Monk, whether it's Keegan, whether it's Kevin Huerter. The depth of scoring on Minnesota is... We took a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they're going to be... And it really does feel like it's two dudes that will have the ball all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's where having, like, more of a... Maybe it's the fact that there are two dudes. One of them, I think, is great. The other one, I think, is, like, slightly inefficient and okay. Mm-hmm. He's a good player. He's not an all-star, typically, in Julius Randle. And so... I'm a little put off by, like, their overall ability to, like, for an 82 game season to really yeah. have, like, a lot of oomph.
Yeah, and at some point, like, you need those secondary players to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean involved as in Anthony Edwards drives and the defense collapses and he's going to kick it out to Nickeil Alexander-Walker for three.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, and I think Chris Finch is a good coach, and maybe they figured out. Anthony Edwards, 7 of 13 last night from 3. Julius Randle, 3 for 3. 62.5% from 3 this season.
Jesus.
If Julius Randle's going to have another year where he's shooting 40-plus percent from 3, okay, maybe the calculus on all this changes. But I think at some point he's going to come crashing back to earth, and if they're not knocking down a ton of threes, I don't know that they can hang with a lot of teams.
Well, that, and I think the other problem is that they were, like, not just good, they were outstanding. Standing defensively last year,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they're the same team. Like they're like, can they be a good defensive team? Can
yeah
right now
are
they're
going to be the number one defense in the league though?
Yeah, their defensive rating right now is 15th in the league at 113.8. Last year it was, what did we look at, 108.4.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were outstanding, and I don't know that they can get back to that level with Julius Randle.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Intriguing.
Yeah, the Wolves about what I thought they'd be. The Mavericks about what I thought they'd be. The Warriors beat the Pelicans 124-106 last night. No Steph Curry, no Andrew Wiggins, no D'Anthony Melton.
Mm.
The Pelicans led by 20 in that game. And Buddy Hield went off. Buddy Hield, 28 points, 25 of them in the second half, 19 in the fourth quarter. He was 7 of 11 from 3. I think he was 6 of 6 from 3 in the second half. I just took over. Lindy Waters the third, 21 points for Golden State, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. As nice for the Warriors, they moved to 3-1. Really, really quality win for them. Moses Moody, 5 of 6 from 3.
Mm-hmm.
If the Kings can't beat this version of the Pelicans, whew, I give up.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a team that had two star players go for 30.
Brandon Ingram, 30. Zion Williamson, 31. Efficiently. 24 of 36 they were combined.
And what? How much did they lose by?
18. And they were up 20.
Yeah, that's not good.
They gave up 77 points in the second half to a Warriors team that had no Steph Curry and no Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah. When we step back and, like, I know a lot of fans, Steve Kerr inherited a great team. And then they went out and they got Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. But, man, with the team he has right now, the Warriors' offensive rating is third in the NBA, and their defensive rating is second in the NBA.
Insane.
Like, I don't care, like, what they're doing right now. I think some of it's smoke and mirrors.
Sure.
But at the same time, man, he's a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that, I mean, you're down, they got outscored 31-14 in the first quarter last night. And I think that's another one of Steve Kerr's kind of, I don't want to say superpowers, but one of his skills as a coach,
mm-hmm,
is I think a lot of teams are just kind of punting at that point, going, hey, we don't have two of our four best guys. We're down 17. Okay, we're done for tonight. The fact they battled back, I was super impressed, but it just as good as Golden State was, like I said, the Pelican 24 turnovers, it just, that's not a good team right now.
Yeah, and
they got a lot to figure out.
And again, like, Steve Kerr has his team, like, ready to play every single night, and everyone is getting a look. You know, he's already had a ton of different people in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 13 guys playing 11 minutes or more. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's getting a shot to play. Even Steph Curry's playing, averaging 26 minutes a night.
Yeah, he sat two consecutive fourth quarters.
Yeah. It's just absolutely crazy. So I don't know, again, how long this lasts or anything else, but I do know that when you have 13 players who are getting a shot every night, they're going in there and they're playing hard for every single minute they're on the court, because yep, they know that if they don't, somebody else is going to be coming in and taking their spot in just a minute.
It's the exact opposite of what we just talked about with Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota's like, all right, these three guys are coming off the bench and they're going to stand there and wait for the ball to come to them.
Mm.
And that's just not a super effective way to go about playing basketball. I also want to talk about Denver. Denver beat the Nets last night. Jordy Fernandez's Nets. 144-139 in overtime. And dude, I was a little bit down on the Nets. I was down on the Nets to start the year. No, I was a little bit down on the Nuggets to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
But not in any way that was, oh, they're not a title contender. I don't think they're a title contender.
It's early, but their over-reliance on Jokic at this point in the season, out of necessity, mm-hmm, is a bit alarming. They've played two teams, a little bit like the Kings, two teams that are playoff teams to start, mm-hmm, the season in OKC and the Clippers. And then they've really struggled. They lost against those two teams to open the season, like the Kings. And then they go against the Raptors and Nets, and they get the wins. Like, the Kings got wins against, you know, Portland and Utah, but to need overtime in both of those games against bad teams, that's not a good look. And so I would be, if I'm the Denver Nuggets, I'm a little concerned about what's happening and what my team looks like right now, and just the depth that they've lost over the last couple of years. You cannot survive with Jokic playing 39 minutes a night and with him averaging 31.5, 12.3, and 9.3. And then it's a steep drop off after that.
Yeah. Jokic had 29, 18, and 16 last night.
Yeah. I know. My son kept looking at it. Like, he's like, are you seeing the stat line? The night before, he had 40 in a triple double, I think.
I mean,
yeah.
I get what, Denver let Bruce Brown walk, and Bruce Brown got a bag.
Yeah. They had no choice. They didn't want to let him walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope goes, and I understand the idea, like, Nikola Jokic is that dude. He can make, turn water into wine, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, man. I just, the starting lineup is really good. Jokic and Porter and Murray and Gordon and Christian Brown's been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But their bench, like Julian Strother, Russell Westbrook, Peyton Watson, and Dario Saric. Like, yeah. The depth in that, just because we talked about the Nuggets last year. We were like, man, this is just a machine. Like, they are just going to, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they want to do to you, and they're just going to impose their will on the game. And they are just this relentless, it's like Michael Myers. No matter how fast you run, when you turn around, they're going to be there.
There he is.
You might be up 19 in the second half. It is not going to matter because they are just going to churn, and you're going to make mistakes, and they are going to take advantage, and they are not going to make mistakes. That just is not there anymore. A couple years ago, the Nuggets are beating this Nets team by 40, and the Nets are taking them to overtime.
Yeah, and I mean, you beat two really bad teams to get to 500, and you barely beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like really, really tough.
Dennis Schroeder, 28-14.
Mm. They've made some mistakes too.
Nick Claxton, 16-12 with three blocks. Cam Thomas, my favorite player in the NBA right now. I love Cam Thomas, dude. I'm just all in on what he is. 8 of 22 last night, 1 of 8 from three, 9 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 26 points.
Yeah.
He's just going to go in and chuck.
He is like Mad Bomber. Yeah. He's making Caris LeVert look, you know.
He's averaging 29.5 points a game on 22 shots.
Yeah. Hey, I don't
enjoy watching a player more than I enjoy watching Cam Thomas.
Jordy has that team playing hard. That's all you can ask.
What?
I knew you were talking about Cam Thomas.
He's the best.
Just by hearing the numbers. He's the best. I was like, oh, probably talking about Cam Thomas.
You know, I love taking Cam Thomas. Kenny Caraway's here. It's the handoff. Kenny Caraway of D'Lo and Casey coming up here at noon. There's not a more fun on Prize Picks. Mm-hmm. I had such a great time putting Asia Wilson in my lineups.
Okay.
Because more than pick a stat, whatever number you want,
right.
It's going more.
She's going up.
It was ridiculous. Her points, rebounds, assists. Mm-hmm. It was like 11 of 12 games. She went more. And it's so fun when you're Cam Thomas right now.
Yeah.
Pick the points, pick the shot attempts, pick the shot makes, doesn't matter. I'm taking more.
Cam Thomas.
And I'm having a great time watching it.
Cam Thomas, he's a bucket. I wonder if he ever, like, figures some things out and matures a little bit and then becomes a little bit more dynamic. We kind of forget how young he is. I think he's 23.
23.
Yeah, yeah, he's a young dude.
He's not like a seasoned vet. He's just getting buckets right now.
I think there's a world, and James, you and I have talked about this before, where Cam Thomas does what you're talking about, and maybe he's just this for his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a world where he harnesses his abilities a little bit. Because like you said, it's not like he stinks and he's just throwing shots at the rim.
Right.
When he wants to get to the rack, he does.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he can shoot a little bit from outside. But if he does harness that, does he fall into like the perfect sixth man role?
Absolutely.
Where he is the kind of maximized version of Jordan Clarkson or Lou Will or Malik Monk or pick your favorite sixth man.
I mean, we kind of see that from like Jordan Clarkson. Like, after it took him a while, mm-hmm. but by the time he got to Utah, sixth man of the year on like the number one seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah,
I just wonder. I wonder if Cam Thomas ever gets there.
Yeah,
I'm wondering though. Like, can he be more? I mean, again, we can laugh that he's averaging 29.5 a game, but
I love it.
He's also averaging 2.8 assists and 4.8 rebounds and 1.3 mm-hmm. steals. He's shooting 38.2% from three and 44.8% from the field. He's getting to the line 7.3 times per game. He's shooting 93.1% from the line. Like, why not? And I think the cool thing about having a guy like Jordy Fernandez come in is if Jordy gets like figures out how to get through to him and say, look, man, you can be our guy, mm-hmm. but you have got to play defense. If you don't play defense, I'm not gonna mm-hmm. let you do this. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pass the ball ever, we're probably not gonna do this. Like, I need you to be more. Mm-hmm. Like, can you slowly turn him into somebody, you know, like, again, Buddy Hield with the Kings, mm-hmm. where he started at the shooting guard position for a long time, you know, a couple of years. There are guys around the league that, you know, Gary Trent, you know, other guys, yeah. you know, even Norm Powell, like mm-hmm. where they can stay in the starting lineup as just like a mad shooter. Right. But you got to put the team around him and, you know, I don't know.
But it's I just walked in on you saying those numbers, I was like, that's probably Cam
it's
Thomas.
It's got to be Cam Thomas.
I had no idea what the conversation was. Just heard the numbers. I was like, oh, it's probably Cam Thomas.
And he just turned 23 just a couple of days ago.
Come on. He came into the league in 19, I think.
Getting a Cam Thomas jersey. real quick, we got like 2 minutes here. Okay. Have you learned anything about the Sacramento Kings through the first four games? Has there swung you either they're going to be worse than I thought they were, better than I thought they were, or you... Because I've not.
Learned, I don't know if I learned, maybe confirmed. Like, they're good.
Ooh, okay.
They're good. Yeah. They're a good team. Mm-hmm. I think, I tweeted it out last night. I said, I'm going to give it 10 games, and then this offense is going to be like shooting fish in a barrel. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be easy work. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they're going to win every game or nothing like that, but that offense is when DeRozan closed the game out, they were up by like 17. But the way... I know you guys saw, like, there was, like, they ran offense through him for, like, six straight possessions. Mm-hmm. And it was either he got whatever he wanted or Malik got something or Kevin mm-hmm. Hart. It was just easy. It was get him at the elbow and let him orchestrate everything. Yeah. And it was like, man, they're a problem. Yeah. And I think they're gonna get to the point where these teams that are lesser than, like the Jazz and the Trailblazers, I do think this year they're going to beat the hell out of those teams.
Yeah, that's the mindset shift that I've learned. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, they're not overlooking these teams. They're not going to play down to them. They're just going to squash them and move on.
Facts.
That's where it feels like 2022-23. Mm-hmm. They might have had like one or two games the entire season where they let you down mm-hmm. in a game. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you can lose to a good team, mm-hmm. but they didn't lose to bad teams.
Right.
And that was a really, really, every night they showed up.
Yeah.
And that was a good vibe.
There, last year, middle of the year, there would have been like a sense of dread about this road trip.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, man. This is a bunch of games they should win, and can you get 2-2?
Yeah.
And instead, we're going, hey, can you get all four of these?
Come on, man.
I think they can. D'Lo and
no
Casey
Scotty
coming up
Brooks
next.
Either.
What? I'm sorry.
Scotty Barnes, not Scotty Brooks. No Scotty Brooks, but no Scotty Barnes.
Oh, my gosh.
No
they're so unserious.
No Bogdan, yeah.
Yeah.
Kings.
What do you guys got coming up?
Kings. And I'm probably the only person in America who found the Yankees fan hilarious last night.
Oh, no. That's been the prevailing thought.
Really? They talking crazy about me because I thought it was hilarious. They're like, no, it wasn't. He could have hurt him. Okay, but he didn't.
Mm.
We'll talk about it.
I'm surprised at you.
I want him ejected. Don't come back.
He did. Ban he got ejected.
Yeah, ban that guy forever.
Ban.
All right. D'Lo and KC, who likes fans assaulting players, coming up next. ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center. That's James and Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The Insiders back at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, drink water. Be nice to people. Boop!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.